if.
Have like a catchy.
Wait, where's two episodes?
One. Yes. We have.
Do you not think we should like start in a catchy way? Like, hey guys, it's Lydia.
When I used to do that, you used to insult me. Do you remember? I would say, hey guys, say, shut up.
Are you serious?
Yes.
But we should do something like.
Me.
It's Lydia.
No, I'm not doing that.
And
we are. No.
Yes.
Hi guys. Welcome back to another episode. My name is Fikemi.
My name is Lydia.
And this is the As If podcast.
Should we say that part?
We always do that.
Do we do that?
Okay. Are you guys ready? My name is Fikemi.
And my name is Lydia.
And this is the As If podcast. Woo! Yeah, you guys, welcome back to another episode. Guess what? We're being consistent. Everybody's shocked.
Come for us!
Everybody's shocked. Everybody's shaking in their boots. All the other podcasts are shook.
They didn't expect it from us.
No. Now they're thirsty. Don't worry. We are here.
Enough of the bullying. Do you know what somebody told me?
What?
Lydia, I don't know this person. No, you know yourself. Lydia, I hope this year... I hope this year you actually take your podcast serious. Not like the other years that you'll be dropping 3 episodes.
You guys, that is always Lydia's fault. Lydia's fault. You brought that on yourself.
I literally did.
Yay. That's not nice.
Okay, so after we dropped the last episode, the breakfast summer edition, we've been having like a lot of conversations with like our male and female friends about, you know, patterns that we spoke about that maybe they didn't see before.
Yeah, and I've noticed like just from the discussions, like personally, what I've noticed is that women, we really do, just off the last episode, we tend to see value where there is no value.
I guess what you mean.
A man will just tell you things, you go on a few dates with him, you're already tripping, you're falling off of what he has said to you. This man is not showing that this is who he is, but you've just taken an idea and you've run with this.
And you've romanticized
the entire thing. And when this man starts to show you who he really is and not who you think he is, then you're like, okay, oh, this is getting too hard, you're doing this, you're doing that, but why? Just don't.
He's acting, this is one that gets me. He's acting different. He is not different. He's showing you the real. You've been.
He's exactly who he has to be. Since the day he was born, this is who he has been.
You just refuse to see it. So again.
And like, I've just also noticed that women, we tend to let men take the reins in a relationship and run with what they want in their own time frame, how they want it. And like, why is that the case? If a man is not giving you what you want in the moment, my sister, let go. Don't keep. That's why you see women are waiting for a man to do something. Don't wait for him to do it too.
No, exactly.
If this is what you want and this is what he can't give you, my sister, pack your load and jab her.
It's a thing of oh, what's wrong, he's not ready for a commitment. He's not ready,
but you are.
So must it be with him?
Like, maybe
your life has to go on. No,
surely.
And that's the exact reason that I will be proposing to my husband. Babe, are you listening?
But like, Lydia said she's gonna put everything
when out. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the thing is that's selfish. It's not when I'm ready, because I understand like marriage, relationships is compromise. But you know, you hear stories about this babe has been waiting seven years.
Mm-mm.
Jesus. Mm-mm. 7 years, 8 years. You know,
ten years.
No, it happens. No, go on the internet. Just Google it.
Don't take my word for it. Google it.
But on a serious note, you see that they're waiting, and that's not compromise.
That's not
you
compromise.
Both have to be ready. And if your plans don't align, if one person
nice.
Can't bend, you have to leave me alone. If
she's basically, I get what she's trying to say, she said if one, like, compromise is not 7 years.
Compromise is not 7 years.
This is where we're going to be in the next few years. This is where I want us to be, and if we can't get there, then we're letting
you know
things
why?
Go.
Do you know why 7 is my favorite number?
Why?
They aired me for 7 hours.
You guys, think they're always having one problem with the
other
every episode.
7 hours.
She's gonna come here and sob some people.
You know yourself. 7 hours. That's not compromise.
You know that's a whole working day.
That's what we're talking about in episode
9 to 5.
I don't know why they would do that to
Jesus.
Me.
But yeah.
So, you
that
know,
aside.
Where it's a new episode. That was just like a little recap. It's a new episode and we have just been speaking.
You know, our episodes are always because we've had one conversation or the other.
Yeah.
So recently we were having conversations. Like, I've just finished university. I finished university in August and July.
Woo!
You know, and like, After I finished university, like when I was in uni, I was applying for jobs and I wasn't really getting any. After university, after I graduated, I kept on applying and I wasn't getting anything. And like, you know, when you're a new graduate and you're out in the world, you kind of don't know what to expect, and you kind of expected your life to go a certain way and it's not. So I was very like, I wasn't getting the jobs I wanted to get. I was sending out applications, I was getting so many rejections, and I just felt like everybody else was moving on with their life. Everybody else had their life plan, whether they were doing a master's or getting a job, and I just was not there. And that kind of feeling, you know, with that feeling of like, I don't know what comes next in my life. I didn't even know what I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I studied law, but I must say here, and I really hope my mom is not listening, but Auntie, I hate BC, law.
Hi.
God forbid, I hate law like so much. So I'm just like, I can't do this for the rest of my life.
They paid work school fees for her.
Do you know what? Thank God, it's a transferable skill. Law is a transferable skill, so I can actually do something.
Yeah, you should have gone to Bob. You know, should have gone to Bob.
And you're not the first person to say it.
It's actually you.
So yeah, like I was just like feeling, I was in a very like not an amazing place after graduation, because I was just like,
guys, I just tried to comfort her as she was saying that. Like, I put my hand on her shoulder. This babe shrugged. Jesus.
Hey God. Yeah, so I was just like, why is my life not following the plan that it is meant to follow? Like, yeah, like it's supposed to be a certain way and it's not a certain way. Why is that happening? Like,
okay, so with me it was kind of same, actually.
Same, right?
Because we came from, like, we did A-levels. I did accelerated A-levels.
Mm, I did 2 years.
Yeah. And it was all A-levels, whether you do it 1 year, 2 years, is pa-pa-pa. It's
and
like,
done, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And, you know, you're just trying to get into your dream uni. You're trying to get into your, like, dream course. You're just, you know, working towards something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you enter uni and it's, like, one hurdle after the other.
Yeah.
You know how uni is. And, right, so what happened with me, uni, when I first entered, the switch from British curriculum to Nigerian curriculum kicked my ass. But then, you know, it was going well. I was acing it.
Mm-hmm.
Social director of my department. It was going well. I enjoyed my... That's a stretch.
Yeah,
uni was going okay.
Yeah.
It was fine. Then in my third or fourth year, I had a, what we call in Nigeria, a carryover.
Mm-hmm.
That has never happened to me before.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That has never happened to me before. And I didn't realize how much it affected me.
Yeah.
Because it was just not part of the plan.
It was not part of the plan.
And I had to come back a year after to do that one course. Right? And that was, like, difficult enough to process. And I've done it. God be the glory.
Woohoo! Yeah, we done.
But like, it was just like, so it was a, you know, the course was in second semester, so the whole of first semester I wasn't doing anything.
Much, yeah.
I wasn't doing anything, and I was just I just couldn't wait to enter second semester, get that course done with, and I decided to, I was getting anxious by the day, and then I decided to go to Dubai and chill with my family a bit, and then at that point I realized that, like, you know, after this thing, after I do that course,
mm-hmm.
and okay, now finally get my 2-1,
yeah.
my degree.
What next?
Bro, like, what next for real?
My sister.
Like, what next for real? And, like, that was nice. And I'm grateful for my degree. I'm grateful for my experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for the grades. But, like, it hasn't changed much about me.
Yeah.
I don't feel, like, it doesn't...
Like, it's like, okay, now that's over.
Yeah,
what,
like,
next?
Now, what next?
I need to move on to the next thing, because life goes on. Time passes.
Yeah, and it's a thing of, like, I'm still a bit unsatisfied, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like, again, I don't seem ungrateful in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Thankful. But, like,
there has to be more. Oh, God, this conversation actually gives me anxiety.
Oh,
sorry.
Baby.
You guys are playing up anxiety. But, yeah, like, there's anxiety that comes with that question of what is next. When I hear it, my heart just starts beating, because, truly, who knows what is next? I only know what I want to come
mm-hmm.
next, but I don't know what's going to come next.
So, like... like you were saying, you got out of uni,
yeah,
and you were just...
I was just unhappy.
Yeah.
I felt, like, unfulfilled, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I felt this thing...
And but, like, what I want to ask now, like, what I want us to just really dig into now is, like, why? Why is the question, what's next? Why,
so,
when you're thinking about your future, your palms are getting sweaty.
Mm-hmm. Your heart starts beating fast.
Yeah, like, why is that?
Yeah. And, like, for me, what, like, I read about this thing, and this is a real scientific term, by the way, you guys, post-graduation depression. And it means that, like, depression in young adults, like, after, you know, you complete university work, often due to pressure to get a job right away, or sadness of leaving your... you know, colleagues, or, like, leaving what you're used to, what you're comfortable with, you get that depression of, oh my gosh, like, I need to sort out my life. Like, this is real shit. Like, I'm not in university anymore. I'm not, my life is not planned by classes mm-hmm. and professors.
So, there's no one telling you. Well, university, like, more freedom.
More freedom, but there's still a lot of structure in university. There's still a lot of structure, and
I just even miss, can I be honest with you? Do you know something I miss?
What?
Writing attendance. I miss it. Like, so even I wake up now, nobody will ask me, like,
oh,
guess what? Let me blow your mind. Even if I sleep from beginning to end of that class, even if I didn't learn anything,
thank you. At least I was home, there.
I'll beat my chest. Like, I went to class today.
One thing about me, I didn't used to go to lectures. Sorry.
That's one thing about you.
Mommy, again, if you're listening, I'm my bad. I know that money.
But I always told her to go. I always told her to go.
Lydia, but she just didn't. Anyway, listen. But like, at least I know, like, seminars, I'm there. I was in class. I had somewhere to be with my day. Mm-hmm. I had a timetable. Mm-hmm. I had it, Lydia. About having a timetable.
I really
intended for good. And now my timetable is going to Zoria Friday.
Stop saying that.
That's
my timetable. At least I know DNA. DNA. I didn't even say to
die. He said, like, in short. This weekend.
I might get my nails done.
Nice. That's a nice timetable now. Come on.
I don't know. So, yeah, but like, you know, you were talking about the. We're joking. Let me just put that.
I mean, I'm serious. She's joking.
No,
I'm
like,
serious.
That's not all we do. This girl works. I can't say where you work, but like, come
I
on.
Work at. No, we get there. I work at 9 to 5.
Per. To God be the glory. But yeah, you were talking about like post grad depression,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we just want to highlight that. You know, this structure that was giving to us the timetables, all of that,
yeah.
is you know, was given to us by society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, like, what's it called? There's this, like, life plan that we kind of have. It's very unspoken, but it's set up for us from the moment we are born. You go to school, you get your degree, you start working, you get married, have kids, you become a grandparent, and then you die,
you retire, and you get the house
with the white picket fence and the cute little family and the swimming pool and the dog. Amen, Sha. Can't lie. Sorry, but amen. Like,
yeah,
look, you want
yeah,
that. Yeah. But... like there's just that life plan that your life has
and
been planned out for you.
There's a time frame attached
to that life plan as well.
To every
so by the time you're like 22, 23, you should have a job.
I'll be choo-choo-choo. I'm 22 and unemployed.
Same, low-key. So like, yeah, you should have a job, and then you know, in 10 years time, you should get promoted, retire by 50. You should be married. Women should be married.
What type of life? Like, retired by 50, you get promoted.
Like barra long.
Wait, 50.
It's soon.
No, it's soon.
Far. It's far now.
It's very far.
No, it's 25 years away. No, wait, how old are we?
We're 22.
It's just 27 years away.
Jeez. I'm working for 27 more years of my life.
God forbid,
why
though.
Why would you even say that? I'm sad.
Yeah, but so what I was saying is, you know, there's a life plan. Like, women, you expect us to get married by latest 30. Men, you should be financially stable by your mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
There's just that whole time frame that your life has been planned out for you. And then the anxiety that comes once you deviate from that plan is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel like, I'm a failure. I'm not as good as my peers.
Uh-huh.
Or there's something I'm doing wrong, or I need to catch up. I'm falling behind, and they're leaving me behind, and everybody else has gone ahead.
We've spoken to enough people our age and older than us, and that's a very like
real
common feeling.
Very real feeling.
And if you're listening to this, you felt that way, you feel this way, we want you to know that
you're not alone.
Like, it's all we dare here.
Right. We're counselors.
We're all somewhat clueless, and like you said. When you deviate from those plans that society has set out for you, there's this uneasy feeling, the anxiety, all of that. And what did I want to speak about? You know, my memory is terrible. So I want to speak about the hidden curriculum.
And the reason where that life plan comes from, really.
Yeah, exactly. Where the life plan basically comes from. So the hidden curriculum is a book by this Benson R. Snyder guy in 1970. And he basically says that, you know, students' personal anxiety is caused by unstated academic and social norms. Basically what we've said. Basically.
Word.
Yeah, so it's like social norms. And, you know, norms are built like over time.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, what you've seen your mom do, your aunties
do, your elder
sisters. And so when the anxiety comes from, you know, the pressure from all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, this Bowles and Gentis basically suggests that there is a correspondence between the values you learn in school and in the workplace. They basically, like, mirror each other. So, you enter school like what? Immediately you're born. Like, I see newborn babies. I don't know what they call that one. You're putting them in the system way too early, by the way. But, like, understandable. People have to work. But as far as I can remember, I have been in school.
Yeah, exactly.
So, meaning, as far as I can remember, I have had a system, a structure set out for me. I had no say in when break time was going to be, in what classes I wanted to do. There was just, like, this structure, right? And sorry, I won't sneeze. And basically, you do that in, you know, a kindergarten, you go to nursery, you go to primary, secondary, uni, all the way down to the... See, all my life I've been in school.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning all my life I've had this structure. And what I've taken from it is a couple of things. There's a couple of things like that they instill in you when you're in school. Yeah. And that is like certain values. Punctuality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't...
If you come to school late, you get punished.
Yeah, remember for that? Sure. We used to get punished.
In assembly, if you come to assembly...
Oh, I was assembly prefect, you remember?
In my school, if you come to assembly, you have to start at the back and then you wait behind.
No, no. When you come to assembly late, you stand in front so everybody sees you.
Remember,
you stand by the door.
If they're vexed, then you kneel down by the generator.
If it's a bad day.
We're not allowed to talk about that.
But yeah, like... You know, there's punctuality. They teach you something else. They teach you how to obey authority.
Yeah. Remember what they used to say?
Obey before complain. That is the most...
That gave me PTSD.
Just saying it, right? Like, shivers, literally.
Mm-mm.
And basically, I would hear it all the time, like, in all levels of education.
Yep.
Even up to uni. And basically, what they're telling you is, truly, no matter what happened,
no matter what you think you know,
and guess what? Even if you're right,
keep quiet.
They said... Him, like, if your senior is talking, your elder is talking, your teacher, lecturer is talking,
you have to obey.
Can't complain. I took that with me and I ran, and I find myself there's so many things I have to unlearn that I find it's not right.
Even like, especially like as babes as well, why should I obey if I complain about something? Mm-hmm. I really need to unlearn that, like, when people are talking to me, I'll keep quiet first, I'll do what they say, and then I'm like, why am I doing this?
There's a
level
of like courtesy and like respect. In general, like, every human being should have. But that's not what they were trying to teach us in school. That's
They're
not
trying to teach us not to question authority. And authority is not always right. So why shouldn't I question that?
Yeah.
No, question them.
Yeah, so this is basically like what we're talking about, the hidden curriculum. So aside the math and English and whatever social studies and whatever you're doing in school, there are these other values that you're learning, like, you know, undercover
that
they're
trying to
Another thing that is so like... They're like my least favorite thing about the hidden curriculum is the how they teach you to reject individuality.
Yeah.
And that is my least favorite thing because, you know, you're just taking away the
things that make
the
you special.
The spark
in people.
I don't want to lose my sparkle. It's in little ways, I'll show you. So, you know how there's in many schools, in the best schools, you know them by their uniforms.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you're coming to school every day, teaching us day by day, year by year, that we all have to... There's a standard for neatness.
Yes.
There's a standard for looking smart. There's a standard... You start rejecting who you are or who you might be as a person.
And you're trying to just fit into the group, the masses of, like, everybody in
your many schools, especially in Nigeria, because we went to school in Nigeria, high school, they have values, they will call it. But these values don't give space for personal growth. So you leave the system... Not really knowing much about yourself.
Mm-hmm. And then that's why you see a lot of people are like 18 trying to figure out who they are. Because
you say 18.
Yeah.
18. I'm still trying to figure out.
Sorry, obviously. I mean, people are 30 trying to figure out who they are. Because the structure that we've existed in does not allow room for individuality or growth. And another thing that this structure does is teach you, like, this myth of, like, meritocracy, which is, like, an actual theory that's, you know, that
it's Marxist, right?
So, like, just like this theory that if you work hard and you do your best, that you can succeed and you can be a successful person, you can get everything you want in life as long as you work hard. And what that does is it makes you attach your
it
makes you attach your self-worth to how well you're doing, or the things that you're achieving and your accomplishments in life. And that's okay, but why is it that the accomplishments that count are the ones for society has put in that structure. For example, I've gotten a good job. That's
babe, you're going too far. Remember in kindergarten, you would, or nursery school, you would do something, they'll give you a gold star.
Yeah. We're guinea pigs. Anytime you do something, they'll give you a gold star.
In high school, we had this Hall of Fame leagues.
Yeah.
So if you did like well in your midterm test,
exams. Like in where I went to Meadowhall, we had this honor roll and merit roll for people that did like 70 to 80, you enter merit. If you did 80 to 90, you're in honor roll. Oh,
then you did change your tie.
And then, school, they will change your tie. So if you did really well in school,
they'll
give you a gold tie. If you did okay, they'll give you a silver tie. And if you're a mumu, normal tie for you.
Wait, let me explain.
Your tie was.
No, they introduced the system when we were like, you want to fall.
What color should
your tie
be?
Are you joking? Are you the assistant head girl in high school?
Oh,
assembly prefect A level.
We're talking to a gold type person here.
No, don't play
and
with
then
the
you
girl.
Know it's crazy because you go to school, your parents will pick you up. They'll say, why do your friends have gold type? You have normal
type. Our uniform in the high school. It was blue skirts, blue blazer. The tie was red.
Thank you. So it stands out. You'll be carrying red tie. You're Mr. carrying silver and gold. You look like an idiot.
They ask you. Wait, so
how many hairs do the people with gold tie have?
Wait, did they put the picture on the wall as well?
Yeah, they put your picture on the wall. They put you there so that you're made to pass and say, I want to be like this person. Yeah. I need to achieve
and I need to
this.
Work. I need to work
hard. And then that kind of just like, it filters out into the workplace as well. You're like, I need to achieve certain things for me to feel like I've done something with my life. Like I need to get to a certain place to feel like that.
But in the long run, with education and with like jobs as well, you're helping the institution, you're helping the business, and you've done little to nothing for yourself. Zero personal growth there. And I also want to now like talk about meritocracy a bit. Like you know how we say it's, well, certain theorists say that it is a myth, and that is because there are other factors that determine how well you do, full stop, in school, in the workplace. You know, there's economic, social capital. People, kids do well for better reasons.
Yeah.
You know, like not everything is fine at home.
Exactly.
And that's what affects the way you be. And you know what, kids are just have different interests. There are other things, there are other factors. So if you never got that gold tie and if you weren't an honor roll student and you felt like you were slacking, you know, very high chances are that you were not the problem.
You are not the problem. It wasn't your fault. You know those people that they will just label you as problem students, you are a mumu, you are this, you are that. They can call you names. It's true. They say these were idiots. Or there was this thing they did in my school where they split us into classes depending on achievements.
Oh no, they did that.
So set one, set two, set three, and then everybody set three, they've given up on life.
Yeah, no, they're done.
They're just making noise.
It's not funny.
Not funny.
Let me tell you how you even know, like, you're if you look around and you say, you know, you're done.
You're done.
It's when the teacher just has given up.
But the teacher is not teaching again. The teacher is pressing phone on Facebook.
Have you written it down? Like, they're not even looking up from their screen.
They're not writing on the board. Don't worry. You're in normal class. And you better give up. You know, you go to set three class, you just see them running around making noise.
They're shouting.
You know, they've given up on life.
You go to set A, everybody.
Set A, everybody quiet. Everybody's paying attention to the teacher. Everybody's sitting in front.
But, you know, it's a myth. You know, no matter
it's
how
not your
you can
fault.
Work as hard as the next person, and let me just tell you now. Let me just say,
I'm listening.
Since nobody
I'm listening.
Was saying, yeah, rich kids have less problem.
Lida said this.
I said it.
She said it.
I did.
I didn't say it, but Lida said it.
I did.
Lida said it.
And
she's right.
Okay.
Because let's break it down. If I'm a rich kid, and I'm not saying like you guys don't have your own problem, you guys get your
the book I'm reading, Art of Thinning and Not Giving an F by Mark Manson.
Yeah.
He basically says that there's no life without problems, like, but as you escalate in life,
your problems
differ. So we understand.
We know you guys have different
problems.
Rich kid problems. That's the kind of problem I'm praying for in the name of
Jesus.
Wait,
we're joking. We're not dismissing what you might have been through in your household. But
anyway. So like for example, if I have money, I can afford a tutor, I can afford a lesson teacher to come and teach me.
Wait,
like for example, if I have money, I can afford a driver to take me to work, to to school in the morning, but which means that I'm getting there on time and I don't have to work AC. After school. Some people that don't have money, they will have to help their parents out after school. They have things to do. Less they can't time, get there in the morning. Time. In the morning.
And you know, apart from again, like how well you're doing financially, you know, emotionally as well. I'm so happy we're having more conversations about mental health. You know, people are just not happy, and that also affects. So again, the point is, you know, look at other factors around you that affect. We're not saying make excuses for yourself or set out to fail, but look at the factors. Don't feel like a failure. Yeah. Look at the factors around you, how you can improve them, and, you know, work towards your goals.
And the message we're just trying to say is, like, deviating outside of that system that they've put in place for us does not make you a failure or worse than your peers, or it doesn't mean that you're lagging behind. And it's okay, you guys, it is okay, especially after university. These are the people I'm speaking to because that's what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay to take time out to learn what you want to do and the kind of person that you are outside of that system. And if it means that you are taking longer than your peers, that is also fine.
Because be like me. Lydia didn't know what she was doing. She packed up and she went to Dubai for 5 months.
You guys, in the name of Jesus, next time I have a problem, Dubai Street.
Just do that. Call up your relatives.
And if you guys, if you can't go to Dubai, try, okay, Bar Beach, Landmark.
You just go and catch breeze. Just
let breeze blow
let
you.
Let blow your hair. Just let remove cool down. Remove your bonnet. Remove your wig.
Catch some breeze. If I can go to Ilashi, I go to Ilashi. Do you understand? Just
if it takes
relax.
A month, it takes a month. If it takes, like me, 5 months, a year, you know, like, bear in mind, the alarm you're hearing, the time ticking, the
it's
time frame
set. It's arbitrary. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. It's not real, sweetie. It's not real. I know, like, society wants you to believe otherwise, but I really feel like we're the generation that is going to, like, shake things up. We're not going to break the table.
But we're
going
to
really
shake it.
We're
shaking it
small. Yeah,
we're
like,
shaking it small.
And that, it's nice, because what about the kids that don't want to enter the system?
Yeah.
They don't even want to step in it at all.
They don't
want to
do that. They don't want to do any of that. They have ideas that we've not even thought of yet. What about those kids? You're not even giving them space to express themselves because this is the system you have created them for, and then the moment they deviate outside of it, they're kind of punished.
The moment you know some parents over, like, the years, gap years became like a thing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I expressed one time that I wanted to do gap year, if you see the way everybody looks at me, they said no,
like, you're crazy.
Like, they said no, that's, you get lazy, you get this. Why is it that when I want to take a break,
after 18 years
I want to breathe 1 second,
1 year old.
Why is it that rest, a break, you know, exploring other options is seen as failure?
It's seen as you being, like, lazy or being, you know, like,
if I was even wrong with being lazy, let's talk about this.
And who defines what's lazy, what's
voila.
Not? That's the new question.
A new
we
one.
Ask.
Who defines what productivity is?
Thank you. And we're just throwing that out there to you guys.
Yes.
Because we feel bad when we're not being productive, but who told you that what you're doing is not productivity? Who told you that getting out of bed in the morning and making that avocado on toast is not being productive?
That's my
level of productivity. I'm not about sure. But when I, the day, do you know what? I started rewarding myself for getting out of bed, because there were some days I didn't. And
I'm
the
so
days that I
you,
did,
girl.
I was happy. I said, I'll text my friends, you guys, I got out of bed today.
And you know what? That's fine. Again, like we've said, do not attach your self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Don't attach your esteem, you know, your happiness to your accomplishments, especially not academic or career accomplishments.
Yeah.
Those things are great, but it should not determine just, like, how well you're doing in
life.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I started last year appreciating, like, celebrating rather. Not only, it's one thing to appreciate, another thing to celebrate, because nobody can tell you what should make you. I saw recently that somebody celebrated 1 million followers, and I fucked with it heavy,
bro.
I fucked with it heavy.
That's
wait,
my
are
accomplishment.
You want to tell me when to throw party?
You want to tell
with
me what
money.
I should be happy about?
If
what I get
happy?
5K tomorrow, I'll still celebrate. I'll take.
That's
my,
girl.
On me. Don't worry.
5K followers.
No,
but let's get FK to 5K followers, guys. So we too can we can throw party.
She has 95K more than me. Make it fun of me.
No, baby, we will get you followers. But I love that, because who are the people that determine what we should celebrate?
Who is this
bottom? I think I saw something. I don't want to mention the Agbaya's name. But one other somebody, I saw it on a blog, they posted it. They said that somebody tweeted that, oh, you're celebrating 1 million followers, so all you now do if you get verified, I'll throw an even bigger party.
Thank you very much.
It shocked
this
you.
One, we're traveling.
This
for
one,
that
we'll
one.
Go to Dubai and
we'll
celebrate.
We'll go to Dubai and celebrate that one.
What
don't
do
worry.
You mean?
Eh?
I feel like, last year, I discovered that I had, like, hormonal acne. I was battling with acne for a while. Finally discovered what it was, and I was treating it correctly. story for another day. But the point is, I woke up one day and I was able to wash my face, do my skincare, and leave the house. And I went for lunch with my friend. And as I was eating, I was like, wait, I'm not wearing makeup. And I was like, you know what? Bottles, shots. like, and she didn't understand, but I did. And there was a time that I couldn't leave the house without foundation.
Yeah.
You know, like, people are like, yeah, you were a little bit insecure. Like, it's fine. It's normal. It's not.
But these are the things that we can't celebrate, you guys. What I'm saying is there's no board or committee that determines what is an accomplishment.
Or what's a productivity. Or what's a fulfilled life is, looks
or
like.
Or what success looks like. You define that for yourself. Don't let this system that society has put us into, this box, limit you and limit how you can, the view you have of your own life and your perspective of where you are and the place that you are in right now.
Because it really just restricting you from happiness.
And you're restricting yourself because, mm-hmm. again, these things are arbitrary. Nobody can determine them except you. So don't let yourself be limited.
And I feel like we've heard enough stories about the super successful people, the family men and women that were just not happy and resulted to, and they were going through so many things emotionally and mentally.
Because guess what, you can be in that system, you can tick all the boxes and you won't be happy because
and
that's
you
not
could,
where
you
also want
could
to
be happy.
You could be happy, and we are so happy for those people that are happy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, again, the thing is prioritizing your happiness. If you are in that system and it works for you, that's fine. If it's not working for you, whether you're 30, 25, 19, 12, now is the time to
switch it up,
find out what it is that you want to be doing.
Yeah, I was just about to say that actually. I actually think that, you know, not I actually think that,
mm-hmm.
I'm 100% sure that the way, you know, our lives were set out, the way institutions were built,
mm-hmm.
you know, even with religion in the background, you know, it's just, we don't have a break.
Yeah.
Because it's like I said, you enter the system of school, you're interning before you graduate.
Yeah,
you graduate,
oh,
you get a
crazy.
Job. If you don't get a job, you go to law school or do your
master's. Do your NYSC.
You do a training program.
Mm-hmm.
At what point have you like sat down,
I'm taking a break,
blocked out everything else, taking a break, and also asked yourself like,
what I want to be doing? Is this where I want to be?
Yeah.
And like, it's crazy because when I say break, I don't mean go on vacation with your friends. Actually, sit down and take a
self-discovery.
Break. Like, is this where I want to be in my life? And like, is this the pace I want to move?
And
at?
We're encouraging you to do so guilt free.
You guys,
don't beat yourself up about it. You deserve it. It's normal. It's fine. However long that break takes,
mm-hmm.
obviously don't starve. You okay? Go get your coins.
Get some.
Yeah,
nice,
yeah. Don't starve.
Whether it's wrong,
don't be a nuisance. And I know we live in a capitalist society. You got to make money. You got to job. Like, you can't be, you know, on the streets. But it's okay to deviate.
Yeah, and I think like in my own personal experience now, where I am, like Lydia said, I have a job, so I work a 9-to-5, but I stop in July. So after July, I kind of don't know what I want to do with my life. And a year ago, that would have given me like anxiety for days. I would be lamenting, praying. I would go to the top of the mountain and pray to God as if I can see his face directly. Like those
mm-hmm.
types of strange things I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I would just be very anxious. But right now, I don't know what I'm going to do after, and that's completely fine by me. I'm going to take my time at my own pace, figure out what it is I want to do, and then do it. I'm not going to let any arbitrary system tell me where I should be in my life and what I should be doing.
We
and
sound
that's
like
that.
Such Gen Z kids. We're like, fuck the system.
Fuck the system, you guys.
I'm gonna do what I want.
Capitalism.
But yeah.
They say we're not swearing on this podcast
again.
Yeah,
Linder. Yeah. It's a family.
Lydia is clapping mosquito, you guys. Mosquito is here. Lydia is slapping it too.
Pretty girls don't clap at mosquito.
Pretty girls don't clap at mosquito. We swat it away.
Yeah, we're like, shoo, shoo.
Shoo.
Anyway, I'm proud of you, FK. And I hope, like, you know, you... We're not superstars. Or there's nothing incredible about us. But, like, we hope, like, it's a bit encouraging.
Yeah,
no?
Just to know that you're not alone and you guys are not the only people going through these
yeah.
things. Like, if you're listening and this is for you, like, listen to us. We know this thing because we've been through it as well.
And
I think
we're still
take comfort
going through
in the
it, yeah.
fact that we're still going through. We don't have all the answers yet.
And that's fine.
That's fine, you guys. Like I said, well, if it takes you 5 years to figure that out, that's okay.
A year, a week. And if you figure it out, you do it, you realize you hate it, start again.
Do it again. You can choose something that's crazy. Like, my dad used to do that. So, he would get, like, he would... If he felt
my
like...
My dad was a legend, by the way.
He didn't disgrace me. If he felt like he had accomplished what he wanted to in a specific career field, he would start again from the bottom in the next one. Whatever it is that he felt like he wanted to
and
do.
That.
And, like, he did that at any age. He didn't give a... And so, that meant we are eating Indomie in the house. But that's okay. Like, that's all right.
Yeah. No, that was kind of messed up that you said that. But, yeah, it means, like, you know... I'm going to give a less touching example.
Yeah.
But in Desperate Housewives, So Tom and Lynette are married, and you know, they have this job, they have like a million kids they need to provide for, and like, this was stupid and I'll never let my husband do it. Joking. But he was like, oh, he wants to quit and open a pizza shop.
Mm-hmm.
At like what age, when kids are about to enter uni. I don't remember how it turned out, Sha. I don't think that business really
did well. Yeah.
But the point is,
they
were broke because they had to like put savings into, you know, don't look at me like that, into the business. And it means that like, yeah, your family might not do as well. You might need to cut down. You might need to make
some lifestyle changes.
But like, long-term goal, think about it. Prioritize your happiness.
Basically, that, I feel like that's what we've been saying on this podcast. What you need to do is prioritize your happiness. What makes you happy? Because in the long run, what is the right way to live is what determines what is happiness to you, if that makes sense. Like, you determine your happiness, you determine your success. Don't let anybody define that for you.
Really excited about, like, I love how like this podcast is becoming so wholesome.
You guys, this is holistic wellness,
like, where you
that's
are giving,
what they call it,
really?
Holistic wellness.
I love the holistic
I'm joking
wellness.
I don't know what that is.
I just said it. I just love it. It's not always going to be like this. I'm very cynical. And life is not always roses.
I'm usually optimistic, except when things are not going my way. Then I become very pessimistic.
But I love that for us, and that's what we're doing 2022. And
we're just prioritizing our happiness. Find your lane, stick in your lane.
And you know, people say that day your lane, but like, dead ass, do that.
We're not joking, dead ass.
And in every area, so in your education and in your career,
in your friendships, in your relationships, prioritize your happiness. Find your lane, day your day.
And
that's our new slogan, day your day. I don't know that song.
I just made it up.
So yeah, you guys see, we're so serious. We barely laughed.
Do you know like that episode? I know I giggled a lot. I only giggled small.
So we giggled small. One or two laughs.
And yeah.
Yeah, that's really it, guys. We hope you have speak one or two things. Jot them down so you can apply them to your life.
Again, we appreciate all the feedback.
Yes, let us know like if you guys can relate, if you've ever been in that space where you're trying to figure out your life out, if you're still in that space, let us know so we can all relate together.
We're on Instagram, the As If Podcast. We're on Twitter, the As If Podcast.
One. And Fikemi _ on Instagram, and this is obviously Lydia.
Lydia.
Lydia. What's that name again?
It's
Lydia Fisher. Because she's official.
That's okay.
And on TikTok, I'm Fikemi FS. She's Lydia OFC.
Yeah.
So follow us on TikTok because we have.
What does that have to do with content? This?
I have content, so it does have to do with the podcast. But my personal content. Let me do. Thank you guys. Okay. Bye. We love you. Bye.